It is the cutest Zelda game and quite possibly one of the cutest games I've ever played. Yeah. It is adorable.
Here's the deal, though. Your bar for liking things because they're cute is way too low.
What does that mean? Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is episode 252, and today we have a very special guest joining us on the show. He is the founder of Zeldathon. He produces charity gaming marathons, all centered around a particular franchise. I bet you can't guess what franchise that is. It's called Zeldathon. Since 2009, he has helped raise over $2.5 million for great causes around the world. He's also a YouTuber, a Twitch streamer, and we were talking right before we pressed record, an executive producer of the World Global Summit, something like that. We're so glad to have him here today. Will you join me in welcoming MC to the show?
Woo!
Hey, welcome. Woo!
Hello, hello. Welcome to me. Hey. And welcome to you.
We're so glad to have you here. Will you take just a moment, MC, and introduce yourself to our viewers?
Yeah, no, you pretty much nailed it. So I've been working with a bunch of my friends over the past 10 years. It all started with basically saying, hey, you want to play some games over winter break for charity? It's like, yeah, sure. What do you want to play? It's like, Zelda's cool. And oops, 10 years later, we're still doing it, except now we have like a team of 100 people instead of just, you know, two fellas and a CRT, you know?
Where was the first venue?
Oh, the first venue, I was what, 15, 16? I was in my bedroom in my mom's house, you know?
Got it.
Man, so that's amazing. So at the beginning of our show, when we have guests on, we like to do a series of rapid fire questions, largely unrelated to gaming, largely unrelated to one another in regards to the questions. The goal would be to not think too long on any particular question, but just to kind of answer with your gut. Are you down for the challenge?
Round.
Yes, lightning rounds. You good for it?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, we'll start with favorites. What is your favorite movie?
Oh, God. You start Back to the Future? Yes.
Okay, no, that's good. That's good. Your favorite anime?
Hunter Hunter.
Favorite hour of the day?
2 a.m.
Favorite room of your house?
This one, the studio.
Favorite holiday?
Crimbus?
What is your favorite book?
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
What Harry Potter house are you in?
Ravenclaw.
What is your favorite video game console?
Switch.
What Me is too. Your favorite Final Fantasy?
I haven't played them. Any of them.
Oh, that's sick. That's rare.
Which animal brings the most joy in your life?
Rabbit.
Hey, me too. How would you rate your karaoke skills on like 1 to Mariah Carey?
Wait, 4 wait. Unless it's Stevie Nicks, in which case 7.
Christmas is your favorite holiday. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Home Alone.
Me too.
What is your favorite Lego creation that you've ever built?
The Lego NES, it's behind me.
Yes. Amazing. Do you have any tattoos?
Got a Triforce on my hand.
Do you regret any of your tattoos?
No, absolutely not.
Do you want more tattoos?
Not really. I'm good.
What is your least favorite Zelda game?
Triforce Heroes.
And which Zelda game did you stream last night and in under 8 hours beat entirely?
Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker for the Nintendo GameCube.
is what's up. So join us as we talk about our retro game of the week with MC, The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker.
Overview.
For those few of you who, like me, may not be as familiar with Wind Waker as you probably should be, This is a Zelda title that follows in the, I don't know, shadow of Ocarina of Time. Probably a more known title. This one's also big. A well-loved title, though with a little bit of controversy. Controversy is probably not the word. A little bit of divided opinion about the direction that graphics were taken. But you find yourself as Link, or a Link, spoilers, however that works, unsurprisingly.
I'm a boy, and when Nolan did his first play, he was Ken.
I was Ken. What? I wasn't Link.
You guys didn't go with titular on this one because of story?
No, I went with Link, but that's a part of the story. Here's the thing. Can I say, I know we're just into this overview section, but I need to clarify for all of us that I had never played this game. Somehow I largely missed Zelda growing up, except Link to the Past, which was one of my favorite Zelda titles. And so I'm playing through this game this week. I still don't know the fullness of the story. I can take guesses. Some of it's not difficult. But one of the things here is that you can name that boy at the beginning, which I guess you could probably do in the others.
Of course.
Yeah, you always can.
Killer at smoking.
Almost.
Not always. Most of the time.
Usually.
So wait, two of us have not played this game. Kenny, you've
right.
Never
yeah, this was yet. Also my first experience playing this game. So, Nolan, we know you're a Zelda boy. And yes. Obviously, if anybody overshadows you with their Zelda-ness, they're joining us today. But Dustin and I both hadn't played this one. I'm like... Like Zelda Light, played Ocarina of Time, and then jumped to playing Breath of the Wild.
And wow. See, just to give you a little bit of frame of reference, like I said, I played Link to the Past. A few episodes ago, we actually went through Ocarina because our producers pulled that game for us in something special that we did. And so I had never played through completely Ocarina of Time either. So I did a full Let's Play, blind Let's Play of that game. So here on the heels of that, I'm experiencing Wind Waker for the first time.
You're getting a really good tour of the series, honestly. And I'm really glad. I mean, if you're having a Link to the Past, Ocarina of Time, Wind Waker, you're hitting all the all-stars, in my opinion.
Right.
If you're like me and have jumped from Ocarina of Time to Breath of the Wild, you will find Wind Waker sits right in the middle as a bit of a bridge. Some of the other titles may also be part of that bridge. I'm certainly not as familiar, but I walked away this week surprised how much gameplay from the most recent Zelda and gameplay from Ocarina of Time, which we just played a couple of weeks ago, is the evolution between the two is really shown here. Dustin, you talked about the story not being too unwrapped, but it really does a great job of breaking down the story right away. Your character is in this culture that the whole Triforce legend is old lore for them. And these are things that happened well in the past, almost forgotten, but is sort of culturally wrapped up in, I don't know, their idea of what a hero is. And it is your character's birthday. He is coming of age, becoming a man. And this culture celebrates that by donning green forest garb and talking about what it means to go and be heroic. And you're immediately, unsurprisingly, thrown into your own adventure where, despite being on an island, uniquely enough, you've got to quickly go save the day.
You guys didn't do that on your birthday?
I mean, I make a point of adventuring most birthdays.
Green clothes?
No.
Birthday suit for him.
Saving people on my birthday, that's not my first choice. You know, I like a cake.
It's a lot of
maybe
work.
Maybe some streamers. You know, swordplay, not number one on my list, but you know, it's The Legend of Zelda, so sometimes you have to adapt.
Right. Okay. So this is my question that I've had the entire week. I didn't look it online. I could have looked it up, but I wanted to have this conversation here. I am a big story guy. We have a kind of mini series that we do faithfully all the time without ever messing up called Elements on this show,
yeah.
Where we talk about different elements of various games. So we either talk about the gameplay, the music, the graphics, the characters, or the story. I'm a story guy. Story is the thing that is biggest to me. And so as I'm getting into this story from what happens at the very beginning all the way up until where I'm at, is this a legit sequel to Ocarina of Time? The reason, If it's not, okay, Nolan's already giving me that look as if it's, if that's a crazy question. I'll tell you why. The whole setup, maybe Deku Tree is in a lot more Zeldas. Maybe I'm just dumb and I don't know how Zelda and the world connects. But I know the majority of the games are just somewhat disconnected. I know they've tried to connect them since. But this feels like it's actually a true sequel in many areas. But in story, it feels like it. MC, can you give us just a little bit there?
Oh, absolutely. No, I don't want to get into the Zelda timeline too deep. I used to actually host a podcast, a radio show called Hyrule Academy, where all we did was lore theories and discussion of Zelda. And Wind Waker is one of those special games that it is a sequel to Ocarina of Time. Oh, we're getting the book right now. We're getting the lore. But yeah, no, Ocarina of Time has a couple sequels, honestly, and Wind Waker is a sequel, and the story of it is it's so wonderful because you see a world that is the result of actions of Zelda in Ocarina of Time.
Yes.
And it's really wonderful because, you know, Ganon breaks free, but Link's not there. Link went back to being a child, so
right.
Guess what? World's flooded. Sorry. That's the backup option.
I love it, and it has stood out to me, having played them so closely back-to-back, it stood out to me so significantly because there's so many shout-outs. Like, again, even in the prologue, as it's kind of telling that 8-minute prologue, it's telling what I experienced in Ocarina of Time. It's like Ganon was sealed, but then he broke out, but then he got the power, and then he flooded the land, but then there's no hero, all of these things.
Yeah, yeah. No, so according to my encyclopedia here, after Ocarina of Time, there's a split in the timeline, right? So if the hero is defeated and does not succeed, we go to A Link to the Past. If the hero is triumphant, we have two splits from there. One is the child timeline, which is Majora's Mask, which is the sequel to Ocarina of Time, if you want to call it that.
Sure.
And then Wind Waker is the other split, with Hyrule being flooded. So you're right.
That's what I'm talking about.
There's too many sequels to Ocarina of Time, and but it's okay because, man, Wind Waker really does seal the deal, and I don't know how much in depth we want to go into the story and spoilers, but I got to tell you, it is absolutely one of the more in-depth Zelda stories that has ever existed. It's one of those things that you see the cartoony exterior, and you're like, oh, what, kid's game? What are they going to do? And by the end, you realize, wait a minute, we're talking about some pretty intense themes by the final credits roll.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this game. When it came out, I remember everyone scoffing at the graphics because we just came off the heels of Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, which are the darkest in tone, I think, in the series up until that point. And so, and more realistic looking graphics. And so you get this game and everyone was like, seriously? But I mean, I was all over it.
Is that the sole reason why it was so critically received at first, because of the graphics? That seems like such a weak reason for fans to not have enjoyed it.
In hindsight, it sounds weak, but at the time, I know that at least in part, that was a lot of the opinion, was that this is a strange turn. Y'all had something amazing going. Why this? And now I think most of those people that had that opinion are eating those words and absolutely love this game. But that's just a guess.
The heart of it is very Zelda. But when you look at the surface of it, cel-shaded graphics with a completely different style, and then this kind of unique island setup where you're floating around on a boat from place to place, the gameplay also was pretty dang unique.
I really feel like the boat setup was something really interesting because, you know, we've had a couple games, many games at that point where it's about, you know, let's traverse a big field and how do we do something different and how do we continue to drive that feeling that The Legend of Zelda wants of, you know, explore, find the world, and the whole idea of an ocean adventure where if you see it on the horizon, you can go there. It just really drives home the Zelda feeling that, you know, we see nowadays still in things like Breath of the Wild, the whole if you can see it, you can go there type of thing. It kind of, to me, really started to like feel like it was a thing in Zelda with Wind Waker.
Yeah, like before Breath of the Wild, this was the open world Zelda, 1,000%. Because as a kid, I was 12, 13, it felt extremely massive. I was like, oh my God, I can go all over this entire map? What? And you actually have to sail there. Like, it felt huge.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so MC, you could have selected any game. You probably felt, you know, had to do a Zelda game, being the Zelda guy. But You could have selected any game. You hand selected this one. Why?
So for a long time, I said the Wind Waker was my favorite game of all time. Before Wind Waker HD, it was just Wind Waker. And as far back as I remember being able to choose a favorite game of all time, whether it be Zelda or not, it has always been Wind Waker. Up until about a couple, like about a year ago, maybe a little bit more, where I finally fell into the trap and I was like, all right, Breath of the Wild, you get the promotion, you're too good. But Wind Waker still is like, you know, it's the closest number two of my life because of the story being so wonderful, the characters being amazing, the music, the gameplay is absolutely right, where it gives you that explorative feel that I've always wanted from Zelda. And it took Breath of the Wild with its, you know, this is Hyrule in my head that I've always imagined, to finally break Wind Waker's exploration, because it's just so wonderful.
Gameplay. So as it's already been acknowledged, this is open worlds and it's a great sea. That's what you have. You're not traversing. Nolan, I think you made the comparison maybe last episode when we pulled this game or when we announced this game, that it's like Ocarina, but instead of a field, you have water, and instead of Epona, you have the King Boat, whatever that guy's called.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's some differences there, but I think there's also some connections there too. Like, it is the first or second game that's not set in classic Hyrule. You're out on the open sea. You're taking a boat from location to location. And I was immediately noticing, and I'll probably do it all throughout this episode, that there's a lot of correlations to Ocarina, not only just in the story, as I've already mentioned, but in the gameplay mechanics too. Like, I honestly felt like this was just... Was this the game that came out? No, I guess it was Ocarina of the Majora's Mask and then this and timeline of release. Is that how it went, or were there other games in there?
No.
There was Oracle Seasons and Ages handheld, as well, yeah. But...
Yeah. But that's handheld, right?
Yeah.
Those are... And so I felt like, you know, with the Z trigger kind of thing that from Ocarina, I think that Z targeting thing was just upgraded here. The menuing, oh my gosh. In Ocarina, one of the pains was going into the menu to switch out anything. It was so laborious. But here on the GameCube controller, you could map any items to three different buttons and have them at any time. Just changes and makes the gameplay so much more fluid. I just, again, I feel like there's so many connections to Ocarina of Time, just upgrades to so many of those systems.
Well, to me, like, yeah, it's not Epona, it's a boat. And a talking boat, yeah, that's important to say. You're talking to this boat the whole time. But the exploration, and we mentioned it in overview already, but like, it's worth getting into a little deeper with in gameplay. The idea of exploring the unknown, because you have a map, but it's not charted. And if you're just new to the game, of course, you have no clue what you're looking at. And so you're like, okay, I have a sail, I have a boat, the wind's blowing this way, let's go. And yeah, you can go where you're supposed to. The game tells you, obviously, which direction to go and stuff, at least up until a point. But you could also just explore. Dustin, I think you said you stopped at Paw Print Island on your way to like Dragon Roost or something. You just got lost. You were lost. I think that aspect of giving the player that freedom is also kind of new when the game came out. I mean, because Zelda's fairly linear, not as linear as like Link's Awakening is straight up like, hey, go to this part, or like go two tiles right. It tells you exactly where to go. But this was new. Like, you're exploring so much more than you were before, and it's really refreshing.
I guess kind of a question I would have for especially our newbies like Kenny here, how much exploration of the world did you do? Did you keep yourself to the game's story, or were you out there finding pieces of heart? Were you out there finding spoils? Did you go off the beaten track?
Yeah, so normally I'm that explore everything guy. I love open world and I love just diving in. The nature of, and this is just 5 years of feeling like I need to shove as much gameplay into a week as I can, of having a podcast about this with bigger games, I'm not Dustin, who is a notorious guidebook character person.
That's what's up. Guidebook character person?
Yeah, I don't know how to say words. Everyone knows what I mean. You don't play games for yourself. You just follow along from other people who've played it.
Ouch.
Yes, I think not highly of it. But I was that guy this week. I wanted to get far, to see some dungeons, to, you know, kind of progress the story as much as possible. And so I didn't just set off into the wild blue, even though I really, really wanted to, because it calls me. I've got a little bit of Moana vibe going on with this open ocean world.
So I used a guide too. I would feel so overwhelmed, I think, if I just like picked east and started going. And I wonder, because I mean, obviously I didn't beat the game this week. I can't possibly beat it in 8 hours or less than like you did last night. But if you do just set off, are there things to do on like, can you actually, because on a lot of Zeldas, they are Metroidvanias in the sense that hate when I say that. So in the sense that you get items and that allows you to, you know, do what you need to do in the open world or in the world. So I would imagine that to get on certain islands, you need an upgrade or you need a certain item to get on certain islands. You need a new item to progress. Are there things to do if you just set out in the ocean at the beginning?
I mean, at the very beginning, it's probably a little bit rougher. You're right that items do unlock more things, obviously. But the cool thing is, you know, that, like, there's one island per tile, and those islands each have a checklist of a few things to do. And so it's really nice in that, like, you never feel overwhelmed, like, because there's only, you know, a limit of what the map has. You know, you can only do the couple things per tile, which is honestly nice for 100%ers, because you never get into a place where it's just like, you know, in Breath of the Wild, the go-to example, where, you know, there could be a Korok between you and a next town, but you're going to have to search high and low for it. And this, everywhere, you know, you got a tile, you got these checklist items. Do the things in your tile, move on. Which, honestly, in terms of 100% and exploration, I feel like it's the good mixture in the world of open world.
Yeah. You've played this game. I heard you say on stream a couple of times, what's the validity of this, that you've played and beaten this game 200 something times?
Ooh. Probably close to there. I not only That's used to speed run the game, I've also done randomizers of it. But even without that, I've also just done very vanilla playthroughs, 100% playthroughs multiple times. I know I've 100% of this game at least 6 times. And so I wouldn't say I know the world front to back. I still need to pull up a guide from now and then. You know, it's very much useful. But like last night, I even had a 20 line like notes of like some key locations for the Triforce shards, etc. You know, that really helps. Yeah.
So in all of those different categories, you mentioned some, probably didn't mention even others, like 100% and speed running. What's your favorite way nowadays to play through it if you're going back to visit? What's the most enjoyable way?
I like to go on to Wind Waker HD and do a 3-heart run where I get no extra piece of heart or heart containers, and do it on hero mode where the damage is doubled and hearts don't spawn in the world. I've only ever beaten it once without game overing, and I did it live during one of our Zeldathon marathons, and that's when I retired from Wind Waker at our marathons. I was like, I peaked.
Yeah, you
that's
can't.
Hype, though.
I mean, there's nothing more challenging than that. Okay, so while we have an expert here, and while we're talking some gameplay mechanics, especially because, yeah, not you, Nolan. Normally that would be you, but you have been trumped today.
Biden.
Help me with my assertion, because I said early on, this game feels like a bridge, at least for me, Ocarina to Breath of the Wild. And some of that is because this feels like it introduced a lot of the things that we see in Breath of the Wild that I didn't realize weren't there for the first time. So can we talk about whether these things are original to Wind Waker, or if they're also things that onboarded at other places in the series?
Such as
Let's
what,
talk
Vitos?
Koroks. Okay. Your cute little leafy guys.
Can I try to answer that on the Korok?
I mean,
thing?
If you know, go for it.
Go ahead, expert.
Because Korok Bleach, no, Koroks, it says in the game, the reason why I think I know is because of the story elements. It said that the Koroks are the spirits or whatever, they're the evolution of the Kokiri people, right?
You're dead on. The Kakiri evolved into the Korok people. So the actual Korok race species, yes, this was their first time coming into the world.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, Dustin, you don't get away with saying Korok bleach.
No, you can't drop a joke that bad and not have us call you out for it. That was really terrible.
What's the next one, Kenny?
Okay, let's talk leaf mechanics, because all the wind stuff, there were lots of those, especially once you got to, you know, to the forest area. Is this the first time we floated as a primary game mechanic?
No, I know that one.
Ooh. Yeah, okay. Technically there's Rock's Cape, and you can fly with Moosh as well in the Oracle games, which came a little bit beforehand, right?
Just a little bit. Rock's Cape was like a double jump that you got in Oracle of Seasons. And if you want to count the feather, you got a jump in Ages.
This is most traditional first time we get a glider type mechanic, but
right.
But Link has glided like before.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, that feels the same to me. And that was just like the little bit of time we had played. The open world nature of it feels really similar. Again, some of the other leaf stuff there, everything I saw, I went like, that's a little bit OOT and a little bit of where we ended up in Breath of the Wild. Vendors and races and everything. And I don't know. I just was super impressed that some of the things I loved started here, and I hadn't realized that fact.
Yeah. I think you are very much correct. One reason why Wind Waker is so loved, I'm sure Nolan can attest to this, is because it not only has that adventure feel, but it gives you a good path. Like, you know, Wind Waker is a pretty linear game story-wise, unlike Breath of the Wild. And so you really do get that love of Ocarina of Time, where you have a really fantastic story that gives you that depth. But also, you're still like set out onto a world. Do you pretty much agree with that, Nolan?
Yeah, I think it's a good balance. If you've played both of those games before this one, I think, yeah, Kenny, you'll have that same feeling of kind of feeling at home because you know both. Okay, before we move on, I do want to bring up the dungeons. Breath of the Wild did not have traditional dungeons. It had shrines and it has the divine beast, and those are dungeons, but to me they felt similarly themed. And in this game and many other Zeldas, your traditional dungeon is you have like a fire temple and a water temple, and in this game, so you don't go into as many dungeons as you do in other games. And so, to me, I've always remembered them, and this week, I still agree with this, I've always remembered them being kind of sprawling and large. And which is kind of representative of the massive ocean and world that you're in. They're just really nice breaks in the game of like, okay, I've been doing a lot of grinding and task doing out in the world, and I'm ready to kind of get cozy inside of a dungeon. And then, boom, you get placed into one, and it's perfectly on theme.
I think there's some controversy in terms of Wind Waker's dungeons in the Zelda fan community. So, Dustin, you said you're a fan of A Link to the Past, right?
Yes.
So, A Link to the Past dungeons have a lot of keys and a lot of doors, and you can kind of interchange them. It's kind of very classic, you know, NES, SNES, Zelda. However, in Wind Waker, for at least the first three dungeons, if you get a key, it pretty much is going to one door. They're like the dungeons are more linear. There's no, you know, ooh, do I open up this door or I know about this one? And like it kind of boxes you in, which some people really dislike. But I also think that it is an aid to the gameplay, and that it gives you a kind of a guided tour of the world that they wanted to make. And again, that can go both ways. So I don't know how you feel, Dustin. I know you didn't fully complete Wind Waker, but how do you feel about that as a mechanic? Do you think that having more keys and more exploration in dungeons is fun, or do you kind of agree with Nolan, where you know having the sprawling tours almost of a world is better?
1000% the latter. I one of my least favorite elements of Zelda is actually probably one that most fans really like. The getting lost in a dungeon, not knowing your way around, having to scour every corner to find something to be able to progress to the next room. That's my least favorite part of it. Kenny loves it apparently.
I do.
One of the things that I loved about this game is what you're talking about. I feel like the difficulty level or curve was much lower than a lot of the other Zelda games, and this is one of the key reasons why, because at least the dungeons that I played, I wouldn't say hand-holdy, that would probably be a little bit too negative, but it was very streamlined, but it allowed me to see the beauty, it's exactly what you said, MC, that they created. I didn't mark it as a negative whatsoever.
Yeah, it's definitely somewhat linear, but there was also still enough puzzle solving and enough moments of, oh, that's how that works, that were different from one to another, and them being creative with giving you new mechanics and then making you use those mechanics in novel ways, that I still felt like I was figuring stuff out. And even if it's less authentic than in a more like actual open world situation where they kind of gave you all the pieces, I still had that reward. I still felt like I was discovering things and having to think and solve. Yes. And that feels Zelda to me. They didn't lose that in linear.
Nolan was watching me play some this week.
Was.
One of the, like, when I turned around, when I couldn't make this moving platform move far enough, and I realized that I could waft my leaf at the back wall and that would project me in the platform further. Here's the thing. Y'all got to experience that when you were younger, around 2003 or 2004 or whatever. I legitimately never played this game until this week.
That's
I watched
crazy.
Speedruns of it like a decade ago when Narcissa Riot and others were like speedrunning it. But you don't see the majority of the game. You see quick like flying across the ocean and just ridiculous stuff. So I'm learning it new. And finding out those mechanics are all the reward I need. So I love the dungeon system here. One last thing before we move into Aged is we've got to talk about the name of the game. Instead of the ocarina this time, you have a little wand we haven't even mentioned. It's called the Wind Waker, correct? That is the Wind Waker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yes.
And it's similar to the ocarina system where you play a song and it controls certain environments. I don't know. I imagine at some point it warps you. It has different controls. Maybe it's just the wind control. I don't know. But this one's a little bit more rhythm and time based. Did y'all like that compared to the ocarina? Do you like that system? Does it work for you?
It's just different. Like, I remember when I first played it, again, younger. I stared at it for a really long time before I understood what they were asking of me.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what am I timing?
And you can change it from 4/4 to 3/4.
And like, I was like, wait, I'm not a music major.
Right.
I can't do this, but you can hold the direction. So once you get it, I like it. However, I don't like it as much as the ocarina and the songs that you learn in ocarina and how they're like, you know, they're in your inventory and like they each actually have a melody and then turn into this beautiful arrangement when you learn them and every time you play them and they fit tonally. These don't really have a tone to them. Some of the later ones do, I think, with when you learn the one for like the Earth Temple and stuff, maybe those feel like Earth Temple-y or like where you are in the game, but like changing the wind is just kind of like a little jingle. I don't know.
And it's interesting because you're right in that in Ocarina of Time you have an instrument, and in this you kind of have a gameplay mechanic wand, which you know, at first you might be like, oh, well, that kind of sucks that it's so downgraded. But I kind of like it just because, you know, you're able to do it faster. Like, I remember, you know, one of the most common complaints about the Water Temple is you have to play Zelda's Lullaby. It plays the whole
30 times
cutscene. It takes a nice long, you know, 20 seconds just to change the water level. In this game, and especially in the HD remake where they even shorten the cutscenes more, you know, it's da da da, change the wind, you know, and it's nice and easy, quick, and you also don't have to remember a whole medley, even though it's like, whoa, three notes instead of six, big whoop. It makes a difference in quickly, you know, getting those songs and mechanics out there. And I like the Wind Waker. I think it's a cool, iconic object. It's not as creative. It's not as fun to doodle around with as the Ocarina ever was. But, you know, hey, if we're going to have a game mechanic wand, it's unique. It's different. And the idea that you're conducting the gods is such a, I don't know, it's a cool world mechanic and story bit. You know, it's nice.
Aged.
I'm going to say something. And it's going to be really eye roll, but get over it. I genuinely do not think this game has aged negatively in the slightest. Not even one aspect. I can't even
name one. Not even one aspect?
I can't even name one, I promise you.
You used the Miiverse to communicate with someone else this week?
Oh, dang. No, he did pull something.
We played the GameCube original. It's the retro podcast.
Oh, that's true.
I didn't touch my Wii U.
You didn't have any of that.
I didn't touch my Wii U this week. I played the GameCube version.
Wait, but there were other things like that latch I was trying to go down into. That's a Hall of Fame or a Hall of something. Aren't there other things that connect to other consoles or something like that?
The game connected to the Game Boy Advance with a cable.
Right. There it is. And you didn't do that.
No,
either
that's
way.
You wouldn't expect someone to still do that playing the game today.
Either way,
I will get out my Game Boy Advance and tell you it still hasn't aged.
Your point is that this game hasn't aged in the slightest, and I 1000% agree with that.
Okay, forget the remake, right? Even playing the original GameCube version this week, I was still in awe of the graphics. I was like, how is this game 17 years old? 18 years old? What?
It helps that they chose to go with a
cel-shaded graphics.
Absolutely. Because that's when you're going for a cartoony look, that's not going to age. You're not going to go back to it and be like, oh, this isn't 64 polygons or whatever. It's just going to have the look that it's going for. Whether people like it or not is, you know, another ongoing conversation, probably one we should have a little bit, but you're right. It hasn't aged tremendously at all. It's easy to pick up and pretty intuitive.
MC, why am I wrong?
Okay. So I'm a Wind Waker defender to the day I die.
Right.
And it's really interesting. I was talking about it last night when I was playing through the game for my 8-hour stream there. You know, Wind Waker is the Zelda game that least needed a HD remake.
Yes.
It didn't need one. The game looks fine. It's wonderful. Yes. I got 480p. Oh, I never turned off my GameCube. Hold on.
It's like over.
I've been sitting on the end for 12 hours now or something. I got 480p coming out of my console, and, you know, it looks great. It looks fine. I got a nice upscaler. You don't need the upscaler for it to look great. Graphics wise and gameplay wise, for the most part, I'd say hasn't aged a bit. I think you're right on that. However, to say it hasn't aged badly is to, I think, let my nostalgia goggles wash over me a little bit, because I do think that the HD remake fixed some problems in the GameCube original that were definitely things that haven't aged well and were more indicative of the times of looking up information in Nintendo Power. Specifically, at the end of the game, you have to recollect the pieces of the Triforce of Courage. And with that, in the GameCube original, you have to collect 8 charts, and then you have to translate those charts for the whopping price of 3,184 rupees to go and then take those charts and find 8 Triforce shards.
We don't talk.
And that takes a long time. It takes a lot of money. I have a grinding strategy to get those money, but, you know, I felt pity for Kenny and Dustin this week. I was like, man, if they get to that part, they're going to be like, man, even with this guide, I still have to put in a couple hours just to get it, you know, taken care of.
What did the HD remake do to mitigate that?
You don't have to get as many, right? And the price is slower.
There are 3 Triforce shards instead of 8, and the other 5 shards are just hanging out. So it reduces the price of 3,184 down to just under 1,200. Yes. So it's a lot cheaper.
Significantly easier then, and shorter.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're all in agreement. This hasn't aged at all. Because let's spend just a little bit of time on the animation, the art style. I think obviously that's where this game is most unique, sure. But I also think it's where it most shines. Guys, I have never played... I've never played a Zelda game with as cute of a Link. He is the cutest kid I've ever seen in my life. From every animation, when he is swinging on that rope and his little legs are dangling, and then when he, the sidle is the best thing. Is that what it is?
Are we talking shuffling on the ledges? Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
Kenny. He gets on his freaking tiptoes, Kenny. His eyes go wide, and he's scared. Oh, it is the cutest, most adorable thing. From the facial expressions to the body language, everything in this game is done so artfully well.
You might murder me for this, but I think the eyes are 15 to 20% too big. I get it.
Get out. Have you seen anime, dude? Get over it.
I know it's a thing and whatever else, but they were a little much for my personal preference.
No, it's the charm. That's everything.
I totally agree. On the charm front, I will tell you, from the opening animation to that first couple of minutes of getting to see this world that I know like some people loved and some people hated, bright and colorful and cartoony but feeling authentic, I was sucked into it fast, and I agree. It looks absolutely beautiful. Shrink his eyes some.
And so one thing that's really amazing about what this game did is they had a mechanic, and one reason why Link's eyes are so big is they put in a mechanic into the game that Link's eyes will look at important things in the room. And like, so it's almost like people are like, well, where's the Navi in this game? Where's the thing to help you? And the answer is, it's Link himself. Like, if you're standing in a room, you're like, I don't know where to go. I don't know. Like, he'll look at the switch. And you'll be like, what's Link looking at? Like, what a genius thing. And so I don't mind Link's eyes being a big in anime, because I needed that, because there's no Navi to tell me where to go.
That's a great point. I witnessed Dustin experience that live.
Exactly. And you don't even have to teach it in game, because we as humans look at each other's eyes for cues. And so I'm doing the same. Yeah, when I was in a dungeon and didn't know there was a branch above me that I could, you know, rope to, he walks and even his head tilts a little bit and his eyes stay trained on that. That's brilliant. It also lets me know if an enemy's nearby. It is the cutest Zelda game and quite possibly one of the cutest games I've ever played. Yeah. It is adorable.
Here's the deal though. Your bar for liking things because they're cute is way too low.
What does that mean?
We may go slightly off topic here, but real world problem. My dog got sprayed by a skunk this week. I'm complaining about it to my good friend, wanting some sympathy for having to wake up early in the morning and clean up this stinky mess of a problem.
Did we make fun
and
of you?
All Dustin will say is, oh, skunks are so cute.
Listen.
They're not, they're vermin. You think too many things are cute. Yeah. Yes, this game looks good. Your bar is wrong.
All I'm saying. Okay, but there's nothing cuter than him sidling along the wall. That is just
that is true.
Thing.
Now, music composed by four composers, one of them being the legendary Koji Kondo. That was the OT, by the way, and basically every Zelda, I think. it's masterful. It's so on theme. The pirate theme is so perfect. What is it, a tuba? I don't know. I think it's a tuba. It just fits so well with those characters because they're silly. The pirates are silly. And the way that they matched the tone of the character or the situation with music is genius. For instance, when you're fighting an enemy and you slash them, you hear a flourish of like trumpets. Like it, and you get that feedback and it feels like you're beating the crap out of this bokoblin. Like, I absolutely love the audio in this game, not even the soundtrack. It's just, they crafted it so intentionally.
It feels some like that game Devil May Cry in the sense of combos are kind of important. And the I'm agreeing with you, Nolan. I'm just putting that in the sense of, if you get that consecutive hit, the tone of that changes, increases a little bit more to show that intensity that you're kind of getting that combo there.
Yeah.
I just think, I agree with you. I think that's super creative.
the musical stings in the battles are absolutely one of those like little effects that, like, you know, if you think about if that existed in an Ocarina of Time or a Majora's Mask, you're like, man, would that have fit with the, and it marries to the style of the game where, you know, you're kind of in a little bit more of a cartoony world. You're in something that's a little bit more stylized. And so it really works to its effect. And while there isn't a ton of atmospheric effects in this game as compared to some other games that are more modern, like, you know, Breath of the Wild is the master of atmosphere, but I don't want to go into that. This game's individual music tracks are dead on and they get the atmosphere across. One of my favorite tracks from this game is actually the Earth Temple music, which is, you know, that dungeon's a very spooky, scary dungeon. And instead of having like your traditional, you know, like Zelda dungeon music, you have like woos in the background. You hear like woo and then the spooky music, and you hear like these like low like bongos, dung, 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 dung. And it's, and I don't know, it doesn't need to have atmospheric effects of like wind blowing because the music gets every bit of the atmosphere across that you wanted. So, you know, you have the pirates, you have like these dungeons, and of course you have the Great Sea, which just feels adventurous. You're right. They nail the music, and I'm a Wind Waker fanboy, and I'm trying not to be too much, but I am going.
I will say that I think you touched on it briefly. I do not think that it is as good holistically as Ocarina of Time.
I don't either.
Which,
the game or the music?
The music.
The music.
Well, the music. Okay. We're specifically talking about the music.
Skunks, I just was making, like, it was a bold statement, and I was making sure I had context to
the music. Maybe do we all agree there?
I agree, but I will die for Ocarina of Time, so I'm not the one to ask.
Well, I don't agree. MC would probably be the one to ask. You do not agree.
I think Wind Waker's, okay, Ocarina of Time has more iconic soundtrack pieces, like individual music tracks, but I feel like as a whole, Wind Waker's atmosphere and musical, I feel like Wind Waker's musical overall soundtrack works better off of each other. It feels like it was composed as a single unit despite being four different composers.
It really did feel super cohesive. I was blown away from the music during that whole introductory cutscene, and then it just kept staying really good. I'm not going to say I like one or the other better because they're both excellent. Nolan, I will agree with you that not only did the music impress me, but the sound effects and what they did with them also impressed me. Yeah. Again, like you mentioned, because it fits. It has the same style as the game, and I know I use this term way too often for games that impress me, but it feels cohesive. The whole thing was thought through, and when they make changes in tone and purpose, they commit to them, but without ever losing what a Zelda game is about. And that's one of my favorite things of this franchise, is the imagining and reimagining and the freedom to let that imagination do new things, but to still have a core that's consistent. And yet each game feel unique. And Wind Waker 100% was part of that tradition.
Discord was clowning you for saying cohesion all the time this week, by the way.
I know.
So that's really funny that you said that.
Well, honestly, cohesive was the word I was looking for. So thank you for saying it.
If you are looking for a GameCube disc and you want the Wind Waker, you can get it loose for about $40. You can get it brand new for $200.
Ooh, not bad.
Final thoughts.
At the end of our episodes, we like to give our final summary thoughts on the game. And then we'll conclude with your thoughts, MC. Let you have the final word on the Wind Waker. Let me start, just because I could not wait to get here this week and talk with MC, but to talk specifically about Wind Waker.
Do it.
I have always said Link to the Past is my favorite Zelda game. I'm serious about this.
What are you doing?
After I complete this game, that might just change. I am already absolutely in love with this game, and I'm not even halfway through it yet. I think that every element that they have done was so purposeful, creative, cute, still faithful to Zelda while trying something different. I hate that it got the negative feedback by a lot of people when it first came out, but I'm so glad that now, in retrospective, that there's such a community and people just holistically that enjoy this game, because I just think it is done remarkably well. A lot of the things that angered and frustrated me with Ocarina are not here. And it's so forgiving. It's easy enough that anyone can pick it up. I love it, from the graphics to the animations. I know those go hand in hand, to the gameplay, to the story. This game feels like it's going to have so much of that story. And
you have to finish it.
I love all of the unique characters. Every character is so weird and unique and lovable. I love every single part of this game so far, and it might possibly be my new favorite Zelda of all time. It's wonderful.
Wow. I knew you'd like it. I didn't know you'd like it that much. And you're not even close to being to the parts that are going to make you love it.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Yeah, you're only like a fourth of the way through the game or less. And so you've got a lot to
still discover.
Please
let me watch you finish it.
How far did you get? What dungeon did you beat?
I just beat the Deku Tree dungeon guy.
Oh, man. The best is yet to come.
Yeah,
you are really? You are in for a treat.
Like,
you
even story wise,
yes.
Oh, especially story-wise. You just right now you're in the prologue. You're in baby's first steps.
Like I can make educated guesses. Like, I mean, with Tetra and others, but still, I'm okay. Well, I'm gonna keep playing because I'm all about story, and so I'm gonna do it from beginning to the end.
Yes.
I'm not going to wax too poetic, though I always wax a little bit, but instead I will lean on the always faithful pun. When I think about Wind Waker, I'm blown away.
Okay.
It's so good. So many things that I thought I loved that were original to Breath of the Wild, because I hadn't been in the series as much as I should have, weren't new things. They were things that started here or started along here that were celebrated here. And I absolutely, absolutely also love this game.
Yes. Okay, good. I'm happy then. I was going to be a little worried, Kenny. I'm not going to lie. I thought you were going to come in here with some weird hot take and I was going to have to rip your beard off.
I mean, I don't think it's perfect.
Okay, you can stop.
It's not going to be my favorite Zelda game.
Kenny. I think that this game is so impressive. Because of what Dustin said, they tried something new and something they weren't allowed to do. Let's call it that. Because, dark, gritty, Majora's Mask. There's this demon in the world that hates everybody for no reason, and they're killing everyone. You get to the final boss, and it's scary. It's scary, actual. And then they did this. But it's such a rewarding game to get through. Every beat along this game is satisfying. It's Zelda. It's fresh, and it's new. And it has aged perfectly in my mind. I still stand by it. Like, the game's so playable, and I'm so impressed that it came out, 18 years ago, and I still can't find a flaw, and I can still enjoy it, and many people still love this game for really good reasons. So if you like Zelda and you haven't played this game, please play it. You have to. You have to. It's so good.
MC, you've got the final word.
So I've always been a fan of Wind Waker. It's the game I played when I was very small, young child, and I didn't quite at the time, I wasn't into game criticism. Like, when people came out talking about the cartoony art style or saying it doesn't have as many dungeons as its predecessors, or they said the Triforce quest involved a lot of grinding, I heard those criticisms, but they flew over my head because I was too busy being enamored by the world. And, when we talk about, this game's not as dark as an Ocarina of Time or a Twilight Princess or, a Majora's Mask, it's like, yes, we can say that. But without going to spoilers to protect Dustin's enjoyment of the future of the game here, the story has elements in storytelling about letting go, about looking to the future, about not only the past of The Legend of Zelda, but where the future can lead us. And honestly, it has some of the best like dang narrative beats I've ever seen in The Legend of Zelda. There's a reason that from beginning to end, you'll be enamored by the world and interested in what it has to offer. I think that the criticisms it has are valid, and whoever doesn't like it, that's fine. But to me, it's my number two game of all time, and only barely not number one because Breath of the Wild blew me away too much. But Wind Waker, it's special. The SD version's wonderful. If you can get your hands on HD, I think it's a little bit better. But man, such a good game.
So to sum it up, we're saying cell shading, we're buying it.
Kenny.
Is there a pun there?
No, there's a pun there. It's all right.
We'll get it later.
You'll get it on the second listen.
Sell and buy.
That's bad.
Kenny,
I know. It's what I have to do occasionally. I'm not doing that.
MC just delivered an impassioned speech, and then you do that.
I mean, it is my job to keep us on our toes and ruin things occasionally.
Those are our collective thoughts on The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker. But what did you think? Cecil said, hard confession, I was never much of a Zelda fan growing up as a PC kid, so I completely missed all of the games before. The GameCube was my first proper console, so maybe that's why I'm so attached to this game. But I'd like to think that even if I were a console player from childhood, I would still look upon Wind Waker as my favorite in the franchise from its sure force of personality. Sheer force. The stylistic visuals, the always amazing world building, and the characters hamming it up to the point where the normally stoic protagonist becomes a cartoon character in all the best ways. This game is just as delightful now as it was on release. Mm.
GameCube first console. Interesting.
I also love that idea of cartoon all the way throughout. Like, they didn't just do it in the graphics. They did it in,
tone, all parts of it.
I feel like GameCube, like, I didn't own it either. I think it was a slept-on console because it had, like, this, Billy Hatcher, and other games. Brojim said...
That's it! That's all it had! It had those two games.
It was okay.
Those are the games. Brojim said, Wind Waker was that game we all wanted to be a Ocarina of Time, but with awesome next-gen graphics. The backlash with the graphics caused at the time only lasted until people played it. The Toonie style is embraced throughout every aspect of the game, and it is utterly endearing. From Link's reactions and expressions to Tetra's reluctant acceptance of her role, it all works in the narrative and manages to pull off amazing moments of adventure and twists. A shining part of this game is the way itemization works so well with game design. Items are fun to use and can be employed in extremely varied ways, both to solve dungeon puzzles and to adventure on the ocean. The only glaring flaw of the game is the lack of long-form dungeons, because the ones that are there are so much fun. New Game Plus.
Hmm. I totally agree that items do not serve just one purpose in this game. You use them all the time, and for
multiple reasons.
Like, that's so creative. I love that.
So cool. Intrigue said, I remember the Space World 2000 Zelda trailer, which showed off a Zelda game with similar visuals to Ocarina, but upgraded heavily for the GameCube. I, like many others, was caught off guard when I saw the cartoony graphics revealed. It was quite jarring, as the last two installments were very dark. The visuals may have been off-putting at the time, but I still played it, and I'm glad that I did. One of my closest friends and I were huge Zelda fans and happened to be next-door neighbors, so we would play through Ocarina, Majora, and Wind Waker, switching controller after each temple. We probably beat each game twice a year for 5 to 6 years, if not more often. Wind Waker definitely lacked some difficulty, Zelda but the fun. Puzzles and combat were very intriguing, and I eventually loved the visual style change from the Nintendo 64 game.
MC, do you know that teaser that they're talking about? That video that they showed? There's like the next Zelda game, and it was like, it looked like an OT, but in like higher quality. To me,
and people were like, oh wow, that's what the next Zelda's game gonna look like. Yeah. And then like, oh, oops.
It doesn't even look good to me.
Very different. And then finally, by the way, many of you wrote in. Thank you so much. We weren't possibly able to include all of your comments, but continue to send in your thoughts and commentary to us. Clint said, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, this game has legendary sound design. Wind Waker is a musically minded experience. The combat, sailing, and stealth is all extremely rhythmic. The way the sound effects communicate in time with the music is something special that few other games manage to pull off. Fighting a boss to the incredible score, but then having the brilliant effect of the string runs every time you strike them with your sword makes the whole game so immersive and decadent. Sure, there are a few places where the game struggles to keep its pacing, especially as you near the end, but I rarely have a gaming experience that feels so fresh, even on my fifth time playing through. Everyone needs to play this game.
Ditto.
Thank you for your thoughts and commentary. As always, you can send in your thoughts on the Retro Game of the Week to us at ngppodcast@gmail.com or hop in our Discord. We've got a commentary channel here. We'd love to include your thoughts as a part of our episode next week. We're about to randomly select what game we're picking next, but I know you haven't taken a look at the list, MC. If there's another game that needed to be on a Retro Master list to be randomly selected at some point in the future, out of all the games, what game would you want to make sure is on that list?
I want more Zelda. How about Oracle Seasons and Ages, man?
Yeah.
Good. We'll make sure games. Oracle Seasons and Ages, as well as every other Zelda game, is on there.
Pretty
as
sure
well.
They are all on there. At least
when can Breath of the Wild? When can Breath of the Wild come on?
A long time from now.
Okay. Like 13 years.
Yeah. But for now, from that Retro Master list, we're going to randomly select what our next Retro Game of the Week is. We are going to be playing a 1993 video game developed by Iguana Entertainment and published by Sunsoft. Those are two good names.
That sounds familiar. Have we played?
I mean, Sunsoft is promising.
It's on the Super Nintendo as well as the Sega Genesis. And
fun era.
It features the titular red anthropomorphic bat. I don't know if it will live up to Wind Waker standards, but the game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days is the single-player platform known as Arrow the Acrobat.
You heard of that game, MC?
I have never heard of that in my life. I was hoping for a Home Improvement for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, we played it, and it was
we
sick.
We played it.
I love we have played that game, and it is a riot.
Yeah,
these clowns hated it. I thought it was awesome.
Also, I don't know if you've heard, but we highly suggest Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. That is
Moonwalker.
A huge...
For the Genesis, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
And Super Nintendo, maybe? I don't know, but it's so good. Ridiculous. All right, find a copy of Arrow. Am I saying A-E-R-O? That's how you pronounce that.
Yeah, Arrow.
Arrow the Acrobat. By the way, it's Acrobat. Okay. Played along with us this next week.
Join us in Discord and talk about whatever that game is called. And if you're still playing Wind Waker, we want to hear about that too. Just come hang out with us is what we're saying. You can do that by going to ngppodcast.com and click join us in Discord.
If you like what you hear, we certainly want to extend the invitation for you to join many people who've come before you in supporting our ongoing efforts of making NGP by heading to patreon.com. Just like our newest patrons, Frank, who has upped his support, Ethan, Hunter, and Wardonis. I probably pronounced that one wrong, but if so, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Also, a big shout out to our producer level supporters who really go above and beyond in helping us to bring you good content. Amarlian, Austin, Brojim, David, Ben, Dear Baby, Francesca, Ben, Garlisle, Corey, Maxima, Mr. Lattes, Ben, Shauna, Ben, Zion. I'm just kidding. There's only two Bens.
Down this week.
We love you guys.
You did. You slowed it down, but also I feel like you ran out of breath because there's so many of you. We genuinely appreciate thank you, every single one of you. MC, where can our listeners find you online?
I'm Super MC Gamer pretty much everywhere. And if you're interested in our Zelda charity marathons, we're online at Zeldathon. And good news, we're figuring out how to play games that aren't just Zelda lately. So if you like more than Zelda, got more than Zelda for you now.
Oh, man, that sounds terrible. Everybody get back to Zelda. You can find us on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. All those links are in our show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Arrow the Acrobat. Until then, I'm still Link.
I'm Kenny.
Nolan.
And that is MC, and this has been another episode of New Game Plus.